Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Miss Ruth, chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife was Naomi, and the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there more than 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons who could be your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait around until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this they wept aloud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." Then Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, so she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again. It's great it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. And we're looking together at the book of Ruth, as you've heard. I love this book because the characters in the story are everyday people like you and me. It's a story of the kindness of God experienced in everyday life. Often in the Bible, we read stories of kings and wars and persecutions, miraculous healings, but the book of Ruth shows God's kindness for a family in need. And we're going to see in this book, we read the first chapter, I'm going to refer to the rest of the story as well. We see in this book an encouragement, a call to receive and to reflect the kindness of God. To receive and reflect the kindness of God. So, first, receiving the kindness of God. Everything good that happens is thanks to the kindness of God. Sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes we don't see it. But God is the giver of every good gift. We just had read this first chapter of the book of Ruth, and it's the story of Naomi's tragedy. Her husband and both her sons die. And so she comes back home to Bethlehem saying, "The Lord Almighty has afflicted me. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitter because the Lord has afflicted me." I wonder if you've ever had an experience like that. And then after this, the great question of the book is around Naomi. We call it the book of Ruth. You could have called it the book of Naomi because the question is, will Naomi remain bitter and afflicted? Will her hands remain empty? Or will the Lord show her his kindness? And you already see a first glimmer of light there in the first chapter because Ruth is determined to stay with Naomi. She says she comes back with her hands empty, but Ruth is there. And things start to look up in chapter 2. Ruth goes to work in a field, and it just so happens that the owner of that field is Boaz. And Boaz is a good man who protects Ruth. He provides for Ruth and Naomi. And so at the end of the chapter, Naomi says in verse 20 of chapter 2, "The Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." Naomi recognizes Boaz's generosity as the fruit of the kindness of God. And by the end of the book, Boaz provides, he shows his generosity in the most personal and the most permanent way possible. He marries Ruth, and Ruth and Naomi are welcomed into his family. And so at the end of the book, the women of Bethlehem celebrate, and they say to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer." Praise be to the Lord. Because the love of Boaz is the fruit of the kindness of God. And so the question is for us, do we recognize the good things that come to us as the result of the kindness of God? It's interesting in chapter 2, in verse 3, Ruth goes to work in a field, and we read that, as it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? As it turned out. When you read it there, you could think, well, it was just luck. But as we've seen by the end of the chapter, it's clear that this is God's kindness at work. And so when good things happen to me, do I say, lucky me? Or do I say, thank you, Lord? It's the same thing that James said in his letter. All good gifts come down from the Father of heavenly light. And several years ago, when I was a student, in the summer I was in Moldova, part of a mission team, and I was coming back home via Ukraine. It was long before the war, and I was getting the overnight bus from Moldova to Kiev, and around midnight in the bus, someone came down the bus giving us little slips of paper to fill in for the border control. Only it was all in Ukrainian. And I spoke enough Romanian at the time to get by in Romania, but not even enough Ukrainian to know the letters. But it just so happened that the person sitting next to me spoke not only Ukrainian, but also Romanian and English. And so he helped me to fill in my form. And as the border guards at 2 a.m. got us out of the bus and searched through our baggage, he helped me to communicate with them as well. And so when that happened to me, do I say to myself, lucky me, what happy coincidence? Or do I say, thank you, God, because you've shown me again your kindness? God is the giver of every good gift. May he help us to recognize this and give him thanks. Before we move on to reflecting the kindness of God, I'd like to convince you that in the book of Ruth, we find an image of Jesus. The generosity and the protection shown by Boaz are an image and a shadow of the generosity and protection that we now know in Jesus. I think that often when we read stories in the Old Testament, many of us are looking first and foremost for good examples. We read and we ask the question, what should I imitate from this story? Who's the hero that I should copy? And it's a good question. But it's not the first question to ask. Before coming to the good examples that we should follow, we need to see our own weakness. Before I try to be like Boaz, I need to recognize that I am like Naomi. It's the same thing, for example, in the story of David and Goliath. It's true that I should be brave like David to face up to the giants like Goliath. But before I want to be like David, I need to realize that really, right now, I'm like those Israelite soldiers who stand there terrified in the face of an enemy I could never overcome, and it's what I need is a hero to come and save me. It was interesting hearing about mention of superheroes earlier. I don't know why. There's a lot of superheroes films at the moment. I don't know why people love them so much. Maybe it's because it's fun to see people do things that we couldn't do, and it looks good on the screen. I think when I was a teenager, I wanted to be like them. I loved Spider-Man. I thought, wouldn't that be amazing to be like him? And now I think to myself, wouldn't it be great if Spider-Man existed? Because then he could come and save me. And that's the point here. We will come on later to how we should be like Boaz. But first, I want to see that I am, or especially I was, before I became a Christian, I was like Naomi. I was in desperate need of the kindness of God. I was bitter. I was vulnerable. We see the vulnerability of Naomi and Ruth in chapter 2, in verse 12, as Boaz speaks to Ruth and speaks about how he's going to provide for her. He says in verse 12, not in verse 12, let me find where it was. In verse 9, I have told the men not to touch you. And you get there in that one sentence a window into the vulnerability of Ruth and Naomi. They had no one to protect them. And if Boaz says to Ruth, I've told the men not to touch you, it's because she needed that encouragement. Who knows what would have happened to Ruth if she'd been in another field? Now, most of us were not vulnerable physically before we came to know Jesus. But we were vulnerable spiritually. We were enslaved to sin. Vulnerable to every evil spiritual influence. And so, like Naomi and Ruth, we need someone greater than us to protect us. We need someone good and strong to welcome us into his family. Of course, that someone is Jesus, the ultimate example of the kindness of God. He took me from bitterness to joy, from emptiness to fullness, from isolation into a family. I put it to you that every story of rescue in the Bible is a shadow of the rescue that Jesus achieved in his death and resurrection. So, May God help us to receive his kindness shown to us in Jesus. So we've seen how the book of Ruth encourages us to recognize the kindness of God behind every good thing, the great kindness of God that's shown most clearly in Jesus, who gave his life for us. But this book also encourages us to recognize, now we've recognized it, to reflect the kindness of God. Like Boaz and Ruth, God calls us to be the instruments of his kindness for those around us. And if you gave a subtitle to the book, I think that you could say how good it is when God's people live God's way. It's like a testimony. It's like Naomi's testimony of how she's experienced God's goodness through those around her. And Ruth shows us the value of a friend who is dedicated to God. Ruth shows us how love for God and love for neighbor come together. And we read what, for me, I think, are the most striking verses in the book, in verses 16 and 17. Naomi says to Ruth, go home. And Ruth says, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Ruth is 100% committed both to Naomi and to God. Ruth was a Moabite, a foreigner, but she came to join the people of God. And so there's another dynamic in the story, which is, will Ruth be accepted among the people of God? And in the end, it's better than you could imagine. Not only is she married to Boaz, but the end of the book shows that Ruth's son will be the grandfather of King David, the greatest king in Israel. That's Ruth's experience of the kindness of God, and she experiences God's kindness as she commits herself 100% to him. But I want to focus on Ruth as a friend to Naomi. Ruth is the instrument of God's kindness to Naomi because all the good things that come to Naomi through this story are thanks to or through Ruth. But the foundation of it all is in those verses that we read again in chapter 1. Ruth attaches herself both to Naomi and to God. And it's a reflection of the two greatest commandments. Jesus said, first, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. And Ruth does both in one go. In fact, it's Ruth's love for God that enables her to love Naomi. We see in different places in the book that Ruth is known for her faith as a woman of value who has come to find shelter under the wings of the Lord. The point is that love for God enables us to love our neighbor. As we came from France to the UK in our car, we have a French car now with the steering wheel on the left. And so we have to make sure when we come over here how to stick to the left-hand side of the road. In fact, it's the number one way that I can show love to other people on the road is by staying on the left-hand side. We haven't had too much trouble in France. Now the steering wheel's on that side in general, it's clear. But it's as I follow that higher authority that I do good to people around me. And that's the same thing that Ruth and Boaz show us. Boaz is another example of this, by the way, in the book. In chapter 2, when Ruth goes to work in his field, Ruth goes to glean. She goes to collect the grains that have been left behind by the harvesters. In fact, it was the law of God, that those who had fields had to leave some behind. They couldn't harvest up to the edges. They had to leave what fell on the ground so that the poor could come and collect and have something to eat. If there is something left for Ruth to collect, it's because Boaz is following God's law. And so the book of Ruth is a story that shows how good life is when God's people live God's way. How good life is when the people of God love God with all their hearts. Naomi goes from bitterness to joy because God's people are doing God's will. Some people imagine that being a Christian, doing what God wants is hard or it's boring or it's restrictive. But the book of Ruth shows us how good it is. What a beautiful picture of life when people live God's way. It's hard even to imagine what your or my family, what your street, what your workplace, even what your church would be like if everyone there lived like Ruth and Boaz. When people love God, they do good to those around them. And as I start coming towards the end, I'd like to read you a few verses from 2 John. That is the second letter of John, not John chapter 2, but the second letter of John. And John writes this. "And now, dear lady, I'm not writing to you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. This is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands." John makes explicit this connection between loving God and loving other people. In his first letter, John had said that if you really love God, you'll love people around you. And here in his second letter, he says, what does it mean to love other people? Do what God says. Love, it in some ways, is kind of vague as a word. What does love mean? I'm sure if you went out on the street and you asked 20 people, you get 20 different answers. Does it mean make people happy? Does it mean do what they want? John says no. Love means do what God says. And that's how you can love other people. And I think there are maybe two different ways that this works. And the first, I think, is the most obvious. As Jesus transforms my heart to make me more patient, well, that does good to those around me. As I obey Jesus' command to forgive and to be generous, that does good to those around me. And the second aspect, maybe is slightly more subtle, as, like Ruth, I dedicate myself 100% to Jesus, it will be an encouragement to those around me to do the same. Jesus is the treasure beside which all else is loss. And so there's no better thing to do. There's no better way to love people than encouraging them to love Jesus with all their hearts. And so if I love Jesus with all my heart, I do good to my neighbor because he'll be encouraged to do the same. That means that being a good friend means loving Jesus more than my friends. It means that if in our marriage we want to love each other better, the first thing we can do is to give ourselves every opportunity and to learn to love Jesus more. And as we do that, our love for each other will grow. It sometimes feels so natural with our friends to follow what they do. Hopefully, our friends don't say to us, "If you love me, you do like me." But sometimes it feels like that. But Ruth shows us that really loving your friends means loving God first. Ruth shows us the value of a friend who loves God. So, as I come to the end, I want to encourage us to lift our eyes up to God in two different ways. First, as we see all the blessings in our lives, we lift our eyes and recognize God as the great giver of every good gift. He is the one who gave the greatest gift of all, as Jesus gave his life for us. And second, as I look around and I see the people around me and their needs, their struggles, their joys, I need to realize that in order to love the person in front of me, I need to love Jesus first. And as I do what Jesus says, I will love those around me. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful because you have shown your kindness to us in thousands of different ways. The breath that we breathe now, the fact that we're alive today, most of all, Jesus, who gave his life to save us, who brought us into his family, who gave us new life. We are thankful. And we want to be people who respond to all your generosity by being kind and generous to those around us. Strengthen us, Lord. Fill our hearts up that we might show your love to those around us. Help us to know what it means to love those around us. Help us not to be carried along by the image of love that those around us have. Help us to look to you to find out what is love and to love others as we do what you say. We need your help, and so we call on you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.